Ipse vero dormiebat. But he was sleeping. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from the proper last gospel for today, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last Sunday was January 25th, the feast of the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. For traditional Catholics, that day should always be a day of mourning. For 50 years ago on that day, John the 23rd, newly elected after the death of Pius the 12th, went to the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, one of the major basilicas of Rome, and announced that he was calling a council. Angelo Giuseppe Roncalli was elected after Pius the 12th, and from his youth in the church, he had a history of connection with the classic modernists of the 20th century. He was sent to study in 1901 in the seminary in Rome. And his regular walking companion during those times was Don Ernesto Buonaiuti. Buonaiuti was also the assistant priest at Roncalli's ordination several years later. You may not recognize the name, but Buonaiuti was one of the most prominent members of the modernist movement at the beginning of the 20th century. In fact, he was so prominent that he was excommunicated by name by Pius X himself. Another one of Roncalli's friends and associates was Dom Lambert Baudouin. Baudouin was a Benedictine, and he was very interested in the sacred liturgy, specifically in using the liturgy for ecumenism. The idea behind Baudouin's apostolate, the liturgy, was this, that dogma really doesn't matter. We can come together on the things that we agree on. Essentially, we can have nice ceremonies together. Now, these ideas were condemned in 1928, the ideas of Baudouin, by Pius XI in his encyclical condemning ecumenism, Mortalium Animos. Nevertheless, when Roncalli went to France as the papal ambassador during the 1950s, he was in contact with Baudouin, considered himself a friend of Baudouin. Roncalli was eventually elected. I remember Archbishop Lefebvre telling us an anecdote that Roncalli told him. Roncalli said, when I was elected, I called for my file from the Holy Office. And the Holy Office was the Vatican department charged with guarding the purity of Catholic doctrine. And he said to Lefebvre that on my file, in the Holy Office, was stamped the word modernist. Quite an admission. After the death of Pius the 12th, someone asked Baudouin who he thought would be elected next. He said he really didn't know, but if they elect Roncalli, he is capable of calling a council which will consecrate ecumenism. And that, of course, is just what happened. Vatican II, the consecration of ecumenism. Those of us old enough to have lived in the church before Vatican II recall how much it flourished. And then Vatican II happened, And everything turned into a disaster. Everything fell apart. The reason why we are here is Vatican II. The reason that we were driven out of our parishes, out of our cathedrals, out of our seminaries. The reason why we have to drive miles and miles to assist at a true Mass to obtain the purity of Catholic doctrine is because of the poison of Vatican II. One of the heresies, one of the errors of Vatican II, the principal one, had to do with ecumenism. This idea says basically that non-Catholic religions are means of salvation that are used by the Holy Ghost. And Vatican II also changed the concept or the notion of the true church. Authentic Catholic teaching is that the one true church of Christ is the Catholic Church. The teaching of Vatican II is that the one true church of Christ subsists in the Catholic Church. The idea being that it subsists there, it can subsist elsewhere as well. Another false idea of Vatican II, used to change the concept of the church, was this notion of the people of God. Those of us who lived through the Vatican II changes remember how much the people of God were spoken of. Behind this idea is that through baptism, Catholics, heretics, and schismatics are all part of the people of God. And that the Catholic Church is somehow a subset, a subcategory of this larger people of God. This heresy and this error, indeed, is written into the new catechism and forms a part of all modernist teaching on the Church. At Vatican II, part of the gang, the modernist gang that pushed these ideas, part of the gang was Joseph Ratzinger, of course, together with Rahner, Kongar, Kung, de Lubach, all the bad guys of Vatican II. Ratzinger hated and hates Thomistic theology, scholastic theology, the theology of the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. And he hates it because it is precise and it is clear in its categories and in its propositions. Modernists hate clarity. And in the case of the teaching on the church, the nature of the Catholic Church, the old teaching, the scholastic teaching, was just too clear. Catholic teaching was this, that the church is one in doctrine, one in discipline, and one in sacraments under the Pope. That the church is undivided in itself and is separated from all others. And that it is necessary for the salvation of every creature to be subject to the Roman pontiff. But the new idea, the idea of Ratzinger and the gang, was this, that you have elements of the church, elements of doctrine, discipline, etc. You have the fullness of these things in the Catholic Church. You have these things partially in other churches. And all these other churches are tied by invisible bonds, somehow, to the true Church of Christ. And they have a wounded existence, but what they have is good as well. One time I think I preached about that here. I said it's like the concept of the McDonald's Happy Meal, right? It's sort of a collection of different things. So you end up with a church that's not an integral unity, but is a collection. Or another comparison we've used is Franken Church, the idea that you have all these different parts, Dr. von Frankenstein, and he gets these different body parts and he sews them all together, and he creates this odd being from different parts. Thus the anniversary of Vatican II. And that was very much on my mind last weekend, especially when I read about the lifting of the excommunication for the four Pius X Society bishops. Ratzinger lifted that, I think, about a week ago, Saturday. And the interesting thing to watch was the language that was used. It was full of the Frankenchurch lingo, full of this partial communion and full communion. He was hoping for a return to full communion. They're in partial communion now, and so on. And you see, Ratzinger doesn't believe that it is necessary for salvation to be subject to the Roman pontiff. So that's why he speaks of this full and partial communion. Unfortunately, most people in the traditional movement don't believe that as well. They have the idea that's been around for 40 years that you can recognize the Pope, but you don't have to submit to him. You can resist him, pick and choose what he says. So you very much see that in the ideology of the Society of St. Pius X, that they negotiate with the Pope. If you have a true Pope and you're a Catholic, you don't negotiate with him, you submit to him. Otherwise, you go to hell. So you see all of this, the positioning now in public between the Pius X Society and the Vatican, these different diplomatic games that they play back and forth. But they end up being enablers for Frankenchurch. In other words, their concept, the concept they promote of submission to the Roman pontiff and the role of the Roman pontiff, is basically the same as the one Ratzinger promotes. It's not necessary for salvation to be subject to him. That there's partial communion, and that's okay too. So this is the language that you watch for. But, you know, there's been 40 years, they've been at this 40 years destroying that doctrine, that yes, he's the Pope, but we won't obey him. Our position, however, is that we maintain the doctrine on the Church and on the Roman Pontiff. The unity of the Catholic Church is one. It is one. They're not little bits here and there. If you have a Pope, you're subject to him, and that's that. But the Vatican II popes are not true popes. We know that because evil cannot come from the Church, and error cannot come from the Church. Otherwise, the Church fails. Ratzinger wants to lure traditionalists into the Frankenchurch, into his one world church. We've said it time and time again. He will give you the Latin Mass. He will not give you the Catholic faith. The Catholic faith excludes all others. It excludes the heresies of Frankenchurch and partial communion. It is fine for him if you become part of Frankenchurch. He'll give you your Latin Mass. He'll even let you waffle on the issue a little bit of Vatican II. The important thing is that in the practical order, dogma doesn't matter to him. The dogma evolves and is moving on to a new anchorage. So who knows? The Pius X Society may just strike a deal with Ratzinger and buy the cow, as it were. But we have to be realistic that this will not mean a restoration. Rather, it's an absorption into the one world church, a more explicit absorption into the one world church, by which they would be co-opted into the Vatican II idea that doctrine doesn't matter, that there are many different means of salvation. So why not traditionalists? You don't have to buy into it all. You just join the Frankenchurch. And that's the program of the sly old modernist fox, Ratzinger. But remember, Vatican II, and not the new mass, is the real enemy. Lest all of this seem excessively negative, I must say that after all these years as a traditional Catholic priest, I think that more people do realize the central problem, that it is a problem of church, of the authority of the church, of the nature of the church. And I think more people than ever are coming to realize the problem of the Pope. And this, of course, gives us hope. It will take a long time for the restoration to come. But in the meantime, be confident and don't be disturbed by the storm. Have confidence in our blessed Lord. He may seem to sleep, but he indeed still watches over us. Be firm. Don't be fooled. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.